Cape Talk.
WhatsApp Pippa now on 072-567-1567.
We've had some interesting WhatsApps and messages from those who have been dealing with either parents or friends or partners with dementia, and some really sad stories, but also a lot of people asking for more information and where to go for help. And I've had several people ask me to repeat the name of the test Irene mentioned if you are not sure whether your loved one is just getting a bit forgetful or really is on the in the early stages of dementia. It's a mini mental exam. So that is what you want to be asking the health care provider to consider doing, a mini mental exam with those 30 questions she mentioned to help you get a proper prognosis and diagnosis and to make informed decisions going forward. Thank you, Suzanne, who's also WhatsApped saying melatonin is excellent for a good night's sleep and it can help make people more lucid who are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's. She says, my mother has improved after it was prescribed. So perhaps something else to discuss with your particular health care giver. Suzanne, thank you for that SMS. And thank you too. I did mention during my interview with Irene that it is World Mental Health Day. And according to the census info from 2011, there are approximately 2.2 million people in South Africa who have some form of dementia. So that gives you a sense of the scale of the issue we're dealing with here. And the worldwide stats are quite interesting. My producers did a bit of digging during the break. And as of 2013, there were an estimated 44.4 million people with dementia worldwide. That number, though, is likely to increase to over 75 million by the year 2030 and over 135 million by the year 2050. That really gives you a sense of how important it is to be mindful of this this challenge and to be looking for early diagnosis and intervention if it is presenting. Thank you so much for those stats, guys. Much appreciated and really adds to the conversation. I'm also told on the WhatsApp line that there is a dementia support group available. You can look for them on Facebook if you want further advice and support. Thank you so much for that tip. Now, the final bit of the show today is going to be dedicated to another one of the big questions that our guest Hillary mentioned in the first part of the show, and that was how important it is to maintain an active social life in retirement and to work on healthy relationships post-retirement. I've already mentioned the importance of work to so many of us. To many of us, our job is more than just a job. It's something that gives us a sense of purpose, a reason to get up in the morning. It's a source of social engagement as well, both in the office and even outside the office. Our co-workers become our friends in many cases. And after retirement, there is a risk of more social isolation once you're removed from that environment, even loneliness when those connections are lost. And if you are lucky to be going into retirement with a partner at your side, that can be the person you turn to for support. But the other question is, what if that partner is no longer there with you? Or what if that partner themselves is really struggling with the adjustment to retirement? I'm hoping my guests today will help us grapple with some of these issues and convince you that there is no need to spend your retirement alone or feeling isolated. Shelley Lewin is with me in studio, a life coach and transformation specialist who works on relationships, both professional and personal. She calls herself a relationship architect. I really love that term, Shelley. Thanks, and believes in helping couples and individuals to build strong and resilient relationships based on mutual regard. Shelley, it's wonderful to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Pippa. It's really lovely to be here and to see this lovely place too.
I'm going to bring in a second guest in a moment. Duncan, I'll ask you just to hold your horses for a little bit before we get to the dating issue, because there are a couple of bigger picture issues to talk about before we whittle down to that level of detail. Shelley, why is it important to really work hard at maintaining an active social life in retirement?
Well, you know, Pippa, we actually, as human beings, we're actually pack animals. We are wired in our DNA to connect to other human beings. So if you look at anthropologically speaking, you know, we had to be in groups and in packs, otherwise we didn't survive. We would be taken out by the wildlife. So we are wired to find and connect with our tribe, with a clan, to be in for a connection. And so whether we get that connection from a partner or a friend or a child or family member, it doesn't actually matter who, as long as we're connecting with other human beings. We are driven to do that. Mm-hmm. And if we don't connect, there is a huge emptiness and a huge void that we feel. And often, unfortunately, when we do have that big void and we don't have people that we connect with, especially earlier on in life, people will find something to bond with. So whether it's their cell phone or some other form of addiction, they will connect to something. So first prize would be to connect to another person.
Okay. Now, we've spoken a lot today about the challenges of this transition period into retirement. It can be overwhelming for some people. It's a time of massive upheaval and change where all the markers that were before, the things that they attached their sense of self to, or at least some of them, are gone or are changing quite dramatically. That makes it all the more important to have other people around to be able to turn to. Why do some people not continue to seek out those connections? Why is it that we have so many elderly people who are lonely and on their own and have in effect isolated themselves?
Well, I think that you pointed to it earlier when you said that about that your career can be very much a big part of your purpose, and a lot of our time is spent in the workplace and being productive. And unfortunately, when you're driving, you know, when you've got bills to pay and your focus is very much on paying the bills and making ends meet, your relationships often take second, third, or fourth place. So what happens is when you do retire, the thing that's been dominating your time, predominantly, you know, your career, your work, and all of those things, suddenly that's gone. And then what must I do with myself? So if you haven't been very proactive in maintaining those relationships and forcing yourself to keep friendships going and to keep a part of social circles and to maintain in activities that you enjoy and engage in things, you know, where there's other people with shared interests, then suddenly you can find yourself at that place where, oi, I haven't actually prepared very well for this, because you're transitioning into a completely different stage of life. And with that transition comes an identity crisis, because who you were before, which was this, you know, very productive person who contributed a lot and people depended on, and now you may be not that person anymore, from the point of view that you're not necessarily, we were going to be pursuing your career, your vocation. Mm-hmm. So you have to find something else. And I actually think that there's a huge opportunity for people who have retired to be a mentor of some sort, because what they contribute is the wisdom and the experience. So it doesn't have to end there, that their wisdom and experience, like to find a way to pair up with younger people who may have the energy and the vitality to drive and to go and to do and to be productive in the world, but don't necessarily have the wisdom and the experience of it. So I think that there's a missed opportunity for all the people that have retired. And I mean, what an amazing partnership and way to kill two birds with one stone, from that point of view, that they would be offering a huge service to younger people and to remain connected to young, energetic people and to feel like they still have a sense of purpose.
I'm thinking immediately of the example we heard a little while ago. I think it's an old age home in Holland that has offered rental accommodation to students, I think free of charge or highly subsidized, on the proviso that they will spend some time with the elderly residents at that facility.
Absolutely,
and
amazing.
Dramatic turnaround in the physical and mental well-being of all of those residents.
Absolutely.
Almost without exception.
And
yeah.
Even something like connecting the schools, the young, you know, where there's so many underprivileged schools who don't necessarily have access to many teachers, like to bring the youngsters to retirement villages and have connect them to do reading or to help them with their maths. I mean, there's a partnership waiting to happen that isn't being utilized. You've got people who are wise and who have a lot to contribute and who have the time available to them. And then you have all these youngsters that are desperate for role models and, you know, caregivers, like nurturers, because their parents are too busy working and aren't available to them.
Caught up in the rat race. Yeah. I will say this. Some of those partnerships are happening. I know a lot of the Cape Talk listeners are involved in reading programs. Ross in Thornton, I'm thinking of you immediately. I know he does exactly that. Retired, goes on reading to children on a regular basis. It would be wonderful if more of that was happening, because there is that newfound sense of purpose as well.
Absolutely.
That we
and
mentioned.
Even to, the things that come to mind, I don't know, it's not necessarily linked to relationship, but in terms of activities for older people, you know, things like cards and chess and all the traditional games, you know, bridge and all of those amazing games that, you know, are so good for our brains, they're almost getting lost because, say, my generation, 40s, we're not necessarily, I'm aware of those games, but they take a lot of time to learn and to master. And if I had someone that could teach that to my child, what an amazing thing to do, you know.
With mental benefits, again, of keeping your mind acute.
Active,
and sharp.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I want to come on to the big question of the relationship within the couple who retires together.
Okay.
I've said this many times on air. I'm going to say it again because I just think it's such a wonderful quote. A friend of mine once said, marriage is about this, for better, for worse, just not for lunch. And the message was that there is importance in having your own separate spaces and identity away from each other.
Yes.
Now you come to retirement, it's for better, for worse, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So the partner who was with you maybe for a few hours in the morning, a few hours in the evening, is suddenly with you all day.
Absolutely.
Is it something a lot of couples struggle to adjust to?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest adjustment is that, you know, for the last 30, 40 years, that you've been with your partner, you saw them in the evening, you know, and maybe on weekends if they weren't playing golf or the wife wasn't busy with the children. And now it's suddenly 24/7, day in, day out, and they sort of look at each other like, okay. So I do think, exactly like you say, to keep your own interests, separate interests, so there'll be shared and separate interests, and to have your own, maintain your own circle of friends, you know. So for the girls to have her friendships with the ladies, and the men to have his friendships with the men. And I still think that that a sense of purpose, that it's just changed shape. You don't have, you know, just because your career or your vocation has, and you're not being paid for it, and you're not being paid to go to work, doesn't mean your purpose needs to end. There's so much that there is still a contribution and purpose that you could give. And actually, when you do have a purpose to get up in the morning, as you said earlier, to go somewhere and do something, and you know that you're contributing and people are counting on you and depending on you, then it brings you energy and vitality. So I do think that that to find that separately
is important.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's easier said than done. I mean, not everybody is the social butterfly, the extrovert who can walk into a room of strange faces and greet them and make a new friend.
Yeah.
It's that much more challenging for the person who is by nature a little introverted. What's your advice to them on strategies for getting out there and meeting new people?
So I would start with what comes naturally to you and what are your natural interests. So, you know, there's always going to be people that share your interests, and whether that's painting or going for walks on the beach or, you know, owning pets or... So I would say that it could be shared interests, activities. It can be shared values. So values with regards to, you know, your faith or your you might have a strong interest in environmental or HIV or whatever the thing, something bigger and greater and grander than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So those are places that you can meet people where there's a shared value or shared interest. There's networking opportunities like amongst your friends. So all the people, especially in a place like this where there's, I'm not sure how many people are here, but every one of those people know 40, 50, 60 people themselves. And so if you're integrating into the community around you and they can then introduce you to their friends, and that's often the best way to meet someone else is through networks.
Okay. Now, your list of finding shared interests, shared values, that shared sense of bigger issues sounds like a list on a dating website. And I want to bring in my second guest at this point. Duncan Forrest has been waiting very patiently to speak to us. Thanks for your patience, Duncan. He's the co-founder of The Dating Lab, an online dating website. And Duncan, I mean, the reality is that some people will come into retirement on their own, whether that is because they have been widowed, whether that is because they've been divorced, whether that is because they didn't ever meet the life partner that they might have thought they would have. And for them, it might be a real challenge to say, I still want to look for that person who will be my other half. Duncan, I was quite amazed when I started researching the segment how many active sites there are in South Africa offering specifically online dating for seniors. Is it a growing business?
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Pippa.
Afternoon.
It certainly is. And I think, you know, touching on what Shelley said about everybody who has friends who know people and your network of extended friends of friends, that's not always going to contain somebody who's necessarily going to be compatible with you. And that's where online dating comes in. It gives you the ability to reach a larger pool of people and hopefully find someone compatible in that larger pool.
I'm guessing one of the big barriers to entry that might make people cautious about pursuing online dating in this age category, Duncan, is the fact that they might not be that au fait with technology as perhaps the person on Tinder who's in their 30s would be. Is that changing? Are more and more people in retirement finding that they're quite comfortable navigating social media sites, online technology, etc.?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's something that was a huge factor when we first started this business 16 years ago. Back then, the internet was still, relatively speaking, in its infancy. And if you hadn't been exposed to it during your professional career, you had less and less reason to be a regular internet user. Mm. Nowadays, people who are reaching retirement have they're much more likely to have actually use the internet for all sorts of things, not just professionally, but for banking and for keeping in touch with family and social networking via things like Facebook. Mm-hmm. So it's far less of an issue that that people in retirement don't have the exposure to the internet that they used to.
Okay. Now, the big thing with any online dating site, regardless of the age of the person using it, is that there are a couple of ground rules for keeping safe in that space. And people, as they get older, we've heard already, they are at risk of not being quite as cognitively sharp, if I can put it that way, as they once were, which does make them that little bit more vulnerable to the scamsters, the fraudsters, and the predators that we know are out there. Duncan, can you talk to us a little bit about safety, specifically for seniors who might be considering using an online site to try and find a new partner? What are the key safety features they need to be aware of?
Sure, it's a real risk. There's no denying that there are always going to be people out there in any segment of the population who are looking to prey on people who are vulnerable, and the elderly constitute a significantly softer target than the average portion of the population. From our side, a huge amount of our effort is devoted to actively protecting our members from scammers. So we have a wide variety of both automated and manual human checks to make sure that we weed out anybody who has nefarious intent before they have a chance to contact our legitimate members. But the key thing to bear in mind when you're entering into a relationship online is to be cautious at first. Don't give away too much information. My most important piece of advice would be to say, keep your conversation within the confines of the dating site until you've established a rapport with the person and you feel comfortable giving out more information like your email address or your mm-hmm. phone number, and only then take it further. And then from there on, the absolute golden rule is never, ever even consider giving money to somebody that you have never met.
Mm. I mean, it's awful that we have to remind that, but we know the fact is that there are many people who have been caught out like that. It's the golden rule, never, ever give money to somebody you've not met, no matter how convincing they might seem to be, because unfortunately, we know they're really convincing fraudsters out there. I'm afraid the quality of the line with Duncan there was not great. My apologies for that. But Duncan Forrest is the co-founder of The Dating Lab, and like many other sites, dating sites in South Africa, they have specific facilities where you can put yourself into a pool and you can meet people of a similar age. So you don't need to think, that's not for me, that's all going to be 20 and 30-year-olds and I'm not interested. There are actually specialized sites out there that you can enter into and go exploring. Just please do it mindfully of the potential dangers that are out there. Shelley, I want to say a big thank you to you for today for joining us. So what's your closing message to listeners about keeping those social connections intact and growing new ones in retirement?
I'd like to touch on something that you said just quickly in closing with regards to the fear around internet dating, and that is that if I could give you an analogy for that, which I think is that If you think about, if you were to look for a position for a job, if you were employing somebody and you wanted them to send their CV in, that's the way that it is. A dating site is like someone sending their CV in, mm-hmm. and your job is to review the many CV options that are presented to you, and then just to see which ones appeal to you. And then you would do a screening process. You might send them an email. You might have a conversation with them on the phone first. You might have a Skype call. You don't have to meet them straight up just because they've contacted you. There's a screening that goes through it first before you have your final face-to-face. And so that also can avoid the safety concerns that you were talking about. You'll go on your gut on that one.
Gut instinct, so important. We come back to it time and again. Shelley Lewin, relationship architect and relationship coach, thanks for being with us today.
Pleasure. Thank you, Pippa.